Welcome to the Hollywood Hypers. I'm Brian, and with me today, as always, we have Joya and Danny in the house.
Hello.
What's happening, you guys? How has the movie viewing been the last couple weeks?
I watched some stuff. Did you guys watch some stuff?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Joya was on a vacation show. You went over to that third world country. What did they call that one? Where is that?
Yes, Canada.
Yeah, there you go, Canada.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you betcha, Canada. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Canada.
I was in Montreal, so they speak French there. So it's the Canadian accent. But yes, it was lovely.
Yeah.
But I was able to watch a couple of new movies because that flight is
really
not short.
Yeah.
And so I
had. How many Moose Bucks does it cost for Netflix over there?
I didn't watch TV in Montreal, actually. I was very good about that. I just was very pleasant, enjoying the city. But on the plane, I watched two things. Oh, gosh, I don't even want to admit to it. So the Firestarter remake.
Was it any good or was it bad?
Terrible. Terrible, terrible.
It looked terrible. Okay. It looked bad.
And then I watched Northman with
I remember seeing the previous one.
With who?
So it has Nicole Kidman, Alexander Skarsgård. It's about it's sort of like the classic revenge sort of gladiator story or Braveheart, but set in like Viking times and Scandinavian.
Was it horrible?
It was terrible. Like 30 minutes in, I was like, what the hell am I watching? Honestly, so those are two no's. Even if you're on a plane,
that's bad. Okay.
Then I watched a really amazing indie film called All My Puny Sorrows, and that was lovely. It was about suicide, but it was about two sisters. Very, it felt like a true indie film, like just a really good script, really good acting, and that's the one I would recommend, not the blockbuster ones that I saw. So, yeah.
Recognizable names in it?
I forget the girl's name. I'll look her up while you guys are telling the listeners what you watched.
Well, Brian, what are you streaming in anything lately? Anything good?
Well, you know, I really focused on stuff that I was at the end of for Netflix stuff. So we finished Cobra Kai, and I enjoyed that cheesy show quite a bit. Yeah. We've been watching the Game
of Thrones. If I like the Karate Kid or no?
Yeah, it's good, Joy. Sure. It's good.
I think you should watch it unless you've watched The Karate Kid.
Mr. Miyagi's not there. That's sad.
He is on there, actually.
What?
Is he? In flashbacks?
They just play, flashbacks, from the movie. Okay. Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good. They did a good job.
Watch it. I'll watch it.
Yeah, highly revered in that show.
I like it. It's a little, I think that they've come to the point where they're embracing the ridiculousness of the plot lines, and
really stretch it so long, Brian.
I kind of like that. I kind of like that they're just like, we have to do this because if Cobra Kai exists, then all the kids in the valley are going to go down the toilet. You know what I mean? Like it makes you think, or it's trying to play it as karate is the thing that is in every kid's life. And it could be bad or good.
Lost in season 3 on that one. So good, but not great.
How about
anything
you,
else? I've been binging old ones. Have you guys remember the show called Fringe? It was on Fox.
Fringe. I love Fringe.
Love that show. That was on Freebie. I saw Amazon. And then also the old show called Grimm. You guys remember a show called Grimm about 10 years ago?
No, I've heard of it. I heard of it,
but I didn't watch it either.
Told me about that. It's like kind of like Supernatural a bit.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, Brian, you're excluded on this. Guess what city it is set in, Joya, because Brian will know. So what city do you think, what great American city do you think the show Grimm is set in? On location, by the way.
It's filmed in the actual city?
In the city. It's one of the greatest cities on this planet. In the history of humankind, it's arguably one of the greatest places that's ever existed. That should give it away.
San Diego?
close second. No, it's actually in Portland, Oregon. It's a good show, lightweight, kind of monster of the week, good show. But
let's remind everybody that our friend Danny is Portland's greatest export.
Yes.
I've never been to Portland.
Yeah. Oh, you'd love it. If you love Montreal, you'd love Portland.
Yeah.
Portland could almost be like a hybrid of Montreal and San Francisco with a lot of pot. Whoa, that's no myth.
San Francisco, Montreal, and Vienna are my favorite cities so far. So I'll probably add to that, I'm sure.
Okay, I can't really beat
so,
that.
So we had homework for this week. Danny gave us homework. We were going back in time. And I don't know if you guys can remember the major events of 2004. I don't know what Danny was doing in 2004. Actually, I probably do. I could probably guess. Yes, but did you realize that that was the year that the Mars Spirit rover landed on Mars?
Oh, I did not know that. I know the movie's Inside Out from doing my homework.
I'm going to give you just the highlights, okay? Just to remind you of this time period so that when you
like
watch,
you were there, 2004.
When we talk about these movies that we watched from 2004, it'll kind of give you a little bit of insight as to what was going on in the world. So we had the Summer Olympics. They were in Greece that year. There was the strongest earthquake in 40 years, measuring 9.3 on the Richter scale in Indonesia.
Wow.
Hmm.
The that's what the underwent the largest expansion by taking in Poland, Czechoslovakia, Lithuania, Hungary. I'm going to go on and on.
Wow.
And also, the Boston Red Sox won the World Series.
I did not know that, Brian. I was 0 for everything you just said. I had no idea, actually.
Well, there you go. And do you know what the most popular film was in 2004? And I want to know if you watched it when I tell you.
Yeah, I love Joya. I'll toss that to you. What was the biggest film of 2004?
God.
It's hard to tell.
It's not The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, close. Okay. let me give you three choices.
Oh, God.
Passion of the Christ, right. Spider-Man 2, or Shrek 2.
Okay, what was the first one?
It's Passion. Okay, the top three movies were this. Passion of the Christ, Spider-Man 2, and Shrek 2. What was the number? Shrek?
It's Shrek.
Shrek 2, baby. That's
I would have
it.
Guessed Spider-Man is. I forgot how Shrek 2 is. Okay.
Now I'm just gonna throw something out here that I don't think Joya, for her homework, watched Shrek 2.
No,
that was not the movie from 2004. Yeah, that was the one that she graduated. graduated to.
Joya, what did you think of The Passion of the Christ? Like a real quick mini review.
I've never seen it.
It was actually difficult. Really good movie. Loved
it. I almost watched that, but I decided against it.
It's intense. I mean, wow.
I've only seen parts. Yeah. So okay. I'll watch that. Though.
Brian, what did you think of that movie? Somewhat controversial.
I thought it was super well done. And you're right. It was difficult to watch, but you also couldn't stop watching. And I think that at that point in time, Mel Gibson was really in a groove for filmmaking and directing.
It's a shame what happened. That you know,
I didn't realize that he was such a monster, but that movie was pretty powerful.
It's unfortunate because his you know, now we know about him, it kind of tarnishes the movie, which is a major bummer. But that was really a ballsy thing, a weird language, a tough thing. I mean, it wasn't like a light thing on.
You know, though, I still love Michael Jackson. I still love his music, so
I can't get past.
But the thing is that we are you guys of the mindset that you can still love the art, not respect the artist?
It's hard. The Michael Jackson thing, I loved him. I just can't get past it. Joy, that's too much. The Mel Gibson, it's hard. The anti-Semitic and the anti-women stuff.
I agree.
It's too hard. It's just,
I agree.
Yeah. It's a great movie, but it just tarnishes it. It's, you know, it's like, what was that movie where he knows what women are thinking now? Now it just seems like a nightmare.
What women want.
Gosh, not him, as it turns out. Okay, let's get it happy again. Okay, you guys.
Let's roll into it. Who goes first and tells us what?
Let me go first because I'm paranoid one of you guys will watch this movie and I will be emotionally crippled and I will not come back.
Oh, no.
So first, what is the 110th most popular movie of 2004? This surprised me.
The 110th.
It was actually Sideways. Remember the film Sideways?
110th. That was a good movie.
Great movie. 110th. Okay, I'm going to just real quickly tick up so we know we're getting to the top 10 movies gross-wise. And I'm going to start with number 10, National Treasure, of course, with Nicolas Cage. That was not my thing. The Polar Express, Shark Tale with Will Smith, another guy that's tarnished. Thanks, Will. The Bourne Supremacy, which I think is a sequel, right? I never like, got those movies. The Day After Tomorrow, which is a rewatchable one. The Incredibles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Never got into those movies. Passion of the Christ, Spider-Man 2, Shrek 2.
Watch them.
Yes. But what the movie I'm going to pick here, this is, in fact, I'm going to go and say this is the most overlooked movie of, at the minimum, this century to me. Oh. This is a classic masterpiece.
You say this
movie.
Century?
So 22 years, you're saying, Dan. 22.
Minimum, if not of all time.
What?
Okay, so let's just see if you hip cats, these Hollywood hypers, can guess. I'm going to name some of the staff or some of the actors. Tom Wilkinson, Kirsten Dunst. No guesses yet. Mark Ruffalo.
Oh! Internal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Thank you, Joy.
Oh, that's
of course, Jim Carrey's best work.
I like it, but it's one of my favorite movies ever.
Thank you. That is one of the by far the best of all time, most overlooked classics of all time.
So I need to, but I say in a category, it is one of the. It's an independent film, right? You would consider it an indie film. So, of the category of indie films, yes. It is very overlooked. It has a cult following for sure, but some people have still never seen it, and I'm baffled by that all the time.
Ryan, have you seen this movie?
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, because me and Joy, we're going to revolt. So,
yeah.
Can I give you a little tidbit about what Kate Winslet?
I'm a fan of Charlie Kaufman. I really like his writing.
Great writer.
Different. It's
okay.
Very,
we're on the same page. That's
yeah.
Fiction, which I like, because it didn't harp on the effects. If you go back and look at it again, there's almost no special effects in there. It's where people go in to get their memories erased if they've had something traumatic happen. This is with Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet are the main roles. And Jim Carrey, of all the roles he's ever played, he doesn't do the Ace Ventura shtick at all. He really was disciplined on this one. In my view, it was his best role, and I wish he would have done more like this. It showed how talented he is, in my view. Kate, we know, is a talent. That's a given. Claire Danes, we know that. Mark Ruffalo. So they get their minds erased. It's not exactly filmed in sequence. It's kind of a hard way to take the whole episode to really describe it, Joy. I think you'd say with that one is just a couple that meet. They go out. It's fairly turbulent. They get traumatized. They want to erase it, and they change their mind. They come back. During the eraser of the memory, a lot of things go on, some subplot. But just a very engrossing movie. Very brave movie, right? Hard to do. How it came out, a lot of tidbits about that, but this is what I'm going to say is the most overlooked movie of the century. Is that close, Joy? Am I overspeaking a little bit on that one?
Oh, no, that was perfect. I think that, yes, you have to really pay attention to this one because, again, like you said, Dan, it is filmed out of sequence. And the whole idea is when you go through a traumatic breakup, you just want to erase the person from your mind, right? So that's the whole idea of it. It's fantasy, but not science fiction, just like you said.
Right.
But the whole movie, they're running away from that decision, or he is, Jim Carrey.
Yes, right.
So the way you know the sequence, though, is by her hair color. And
I just saw that. It's fascinating.
She had three different hair colors. So you know it's when they first met, if it's whatever it was, red or blue, or there's three. And so that's kind of like the viewer's marker to give you some
sensitivity
in sequence.
And that was done, Joy, by the seasons. It was red when they met, and then it was orange, I believe, in the fall, and then blue in the winter. And they use those same things. It's actually very clever. A lot of layers in there.
I feel like it's probably, if not my favorite, one of my favorite love stories of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. Because realistic, we're imperfect. You want them, you don't want them, you want them. Yeah. You're confused. No one's perfect. You know, kind of dealt where she might have been maybe possibly bipolar, but it dealt with like, hey, it's a human. She's, you know, let's not worry about that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, at the end.
And him as well could have had some issues, but.
Yeah, at the end when they say to each other, they want to be together, but she's like, you're going to get annoyed with me. He's like, you're
And he was not perfect by any stretch either, by no means. So.
No, but they're like, we don't care. We don't care about, because no one's perfect. And it was very well done. And then you have the same plot with Kirsten Dunst and
the one guy that liked your hair. Elijah Wood, right, yeah. And then the doctor, it was actually, there's a lot of stuff that didn't make the final cut that would have changed it interesting that we'll go into in another episode. But great movie. Brian, what did you think of that? Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
It's been a long time since I've watched it. And I remember just being very... Like you needed to pay attention to it. I totally enjoyed it though.
I was engrossed by it.
At that point in time, you know, everybody knew Jim Carrey for every other thing that he had done. And when he acted the shit out of that,
nailed it.
Surprised everyone and every, you know, because that was not an easy role. And he really toned his whole thing that he does down. And I totally loved it. Yeah, it was great.
So pretty much, like I said, I'm going to call it a masterpiece. So
Charlie Kaufman is
Yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he? Yes, absolutely brilliant writer on that one. Yeah. So it's safe to say we're all going to hype this. That's
yeah, kind of totally hype on that one.
Absolutely. Okay. If you haven't seen this film, you need to watch it immediately.
Engrossing movie. Fantastic.
What's it streaming on, Dan? I don't even know what it's streaming on at present. Do you know?
No, I've not looked at it. Probably should. So while you guys go ahead, I'll look. Oh, it's Watch With... No, it's not Watch With Prime. That's Nat. So I'll take a look.
Was this the movie that you watched, Danny? Or is this just you're picking this one out as the...
No, I had watched this recently as why when it came in, we decided to do this. That was the first one that popped. I forgot I watched. I don't know what I watched on, actually. It was on. And I just left it on the whole time. It was near this. No, even if I didn't, I've seen this probably 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
One of the most I've ever seen a movie in my life. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
You both agree that sometimes you will have seen a movie, a film, a while back, and like Brian, you haven't seen this movie in a while, but you remember an emotion attached to this.
Yes,
you remember a lingering emotion. And so I feel like that is such, that's so indicative of this film particularly. And I think that's a truly great film. You remember the feelings that you had in conjunction. Yeah.
I remember the date. I saw it on a date. I remember the whole thing. They didn't like it as much as I did. I'm like, okay.
Some people.
Yeah.
If you want it, you need to be in it. You need to be in it. You have to. Yeah.
And it's on Hulu, by the way. Okay. So Hulu is what it's on.
Gotcha. Nice.
Okay. So who's Joya? We do Joya or Brian next? You guys decide what's next.
Joya, you're jiving and you're ready to go. I can tell.
Yes. Give us that Montreal energy.
All right. I'm going to give you a.
Give us some hints.
Okay.
I can rarely outsmart Brian, so I have a chance. Every chance I do, I smart
Brian. Actors in it.
I'm sorry. What's that?
Actors in it. Actresses and actors in it. Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Not Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Okay, that's out.
This is 2004, not 82.
I was within 40 years. That's a good guess. Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the main one.
Okay.
Christian Bale.
Oh.
And Jennifer Jason Leigh. Okay, give me a little bit more. This is now okay. Me and Brian are both look bad.
Okay, so
is it The Machinist? Because
it is.
Okay, yeah, because I
that was 2004. Holy shit, that was 18 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy. Some of those movies, I was like, how is it that long ago?
Wow. This one, I didn't remember. I know I watched it, but I remember. So I was going through the different trailers from this year.
Yeah.
You know, for stuff that I was kind of considering watching.
Yeah.
And this was one of them. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. I didn't watch this one though. But
is this the one where he got really skinny?
Yes, it is.
To see those screen stills just scared me off.
It's disturbing. No, meant to be though. It's supposed to, right?
The guy tries, you gotta give it to him. Absolutely.
Backstory. Do we like Christian Bale as an actor?
I love him.
Oh, yeah. He's really intense.
When we were introduced to him, it was Empire of the Sun, right? When he was a boy. Okay. So my friend Nicole, that I've known since I was 8 years old, if she listens to this, she's gonna laugh at the story. But ever since we were little, she was in love with him. Ever since that movie and music and everything else. So she had me go see that horrific Ring of Fire movie. With him.
Oh, with the dragons? That was a complete piece of shit. What a waste of two great actors. Wow.
Piece of garbage. But then we rented this film. So I remember we didn't see it in the theater. I want to say we saw it maybe the following year when it came out for rent. Mm. And she's like, I just have to see it. It's Christian Bale. And I'm like, yeah, of course. I didn't really know anything about it. And we were just, you see him. He is 121 pounds.
Wow.
I weigh 146 pounds and I'm 5'3 and a woman and he's Christian Bale and we've seen him.
But he looked like he was on the verge.
He's so emaciated. Like it is jarring and it's every scene you see him as that.
What is the plot of this movie? I literally don't even know the plot of it, honestly.
So it is one of those total thrillers, right?
Okay.
You kind of don't know which end is up. I'll give it a little bit of maybe Memento vibes, a little bit of maybe Fight Club kind of feel at the end, you know, when obviously the cover's blown. So like, you don't know what's happening really the whole time. You're sort of in his head, but basically he is a man, a young single man, lives alone. He works as a machinist. So he works at like a machinery with all these crazy, like giant machines. And he seems to have like a fairly good rapport with his coworkers. And he just has this little life basically. He goes to see Jennifer Jason Leigh. She's a prostitute, but they like kind of have feelings for each other. But you get the sense that clearly something very traumatic has happened to him because he is so frail and so thin. And then you find out early on in the film that he hasn't slept for a year. So when I saw this movie, actually, I rewatched it today. I hadn't seen it since I watched it in 2005 with Nicole. So I remember a feeling, but I didn't remember what happened in the end. And I didn't remember the whole movie. So basically, it's basically a movie about him figuring out what the hell is going on. And you're figuring it out with him, right? So there's all these little clues. The phrase, "Who are you?" is the first phrase that's said in the film. And then there's a little post-it that also says, "Who are you?" And he's staring at himself in the mirror a lot throughout the film. And you're just like, oh my gosh, what kind of trauma? Like, what is happening? And then this man comes into the picture and he sort of looks like evil and devilish. And he's supposedly another coworker of his, but then none of the other coworkers remember him. And so you get the sense, okay, is this his imaginary friend? What's happening? And basically that man is symbolic of his conscience, because what you end up finding out at the very end is that 1 year ago, when he stopped sleeping and lost all that weight, and they do a flashback of him with like meat on his bones, and it's so crazy to see the difference, but he was just driving in his car down the street and not really paying attention, lighting a cigarette, and boom, he looks up and he has hit a young boy, maybe 7 or 8 years old, who's crossing the street with his mom. And that boy does die, and he drives away. So he does a hit and run, and then he blacks it all out. So for that whole next year, he's not really eating. He's not sleeping. He's blaming other people for all these weird things that are happening. He cannot face what he's done. So it's literally destroying him physically. And that's why he looks like that.
So definitely not a feel-good movie we're taking out of this one.
Well, no. So here's the thing. I mean, you know me, I always have to find the silver lining in everything. So the point of it is that you'll never be okay. You'll never be well unless you face what you've done. And finally at the end, and there's a lot of other components that are very surreal to this. There's little parts that feel very film noir to me almost, because then there's another woman who in the end you find out is the mother of the son, but he just creates this made up narrative in his head because again, he's sleep deprived. So he's hallucinating. So in his mind, he has a friendship with her and all these things. But in the end, he does admit to what he's done and he turns himself in. And it's only then in the jail cell that he can finally sleep. And it's left very open-ended. It's left, did he die in his sleep because he was so sick from not having slept this whole time? Or did he just finally let go and rest because he admitted to this horrific thing that he had done that he couldn't do a year ago?
So and I assume he was really good at it. Christian Bale was great in it.
Excellent,
right?
Always. Yeah, no, the acting was really good. It was well casted. And
good cast.
It's a good thriller because you don't, I mean, I just spoiled it for everyone. So I, you know, I guess, you know, watch it.
It's good to, watch because even like the color of this film is so part of the feeling of it. It's like, it has like these just metallic looking color to it. And
blue and almost like it's like black and white in some parts, but it's not.
Yeah, it feels like black and white, but it really isn't. It definitely has colors. It just has a very artistic tone to it.
That's what I mean about like the scenery of it. Okay, so he works as a machinist, but the bar that he goes and hangs out, it's called the boiler room. Everything is very like dark and dank and black and blue and gray.
Bleak.
The bleakness. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
But it's really good. It's really well done.
Yeah.
Okay. So, right. It looks like well done. It did $1 million in box office in the US and $8 million worldwide. So, it didn't even hit the top 200 for 2004. Yeah. Although, those movies, you know, are not ever going to be big. So, interesting. No, that has a lot of good PR since it came out. Actually, I kind of want to see it now, Joy. That was a good description.
You should.
I like Christian Bale a lot. And I like good acting. So actually, it looks interesting. Like it. Okay.
It is. It'll keep you
hyped seeing that.
Sure.
Okay. It's one of good advertising for that, Joy, by the way. I hope you're trying to, but it made a great feeling. Brian, are you hyping or hating that Baby Cakes?
I would hype that movie. I think it's really good. I think it's one, if you're a fan of Christian Bale, and then I just, it's a really good, you know, humanistic story about, I don't want to say it's redemption but you know, just the effects of not doing the right thing.
Yep.
Interesting.
Good. I'd hype this movie for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian, what do you got for us, baby? Let us guess. Come on.
Okay. So, I wasn't finding anything on there that I hadn't seen and wanted to see, I guess, is what it was. Like, there was definitely some movies that I was like, yeah, I remember when that came out and I'm not really interested in watching it. So I did, like you guys, I went back and I watched something that I hadn't seen since it was in the theater or around about that time. I watched The Aviator. So wow. This movie is the story of Howard Hughes, and he's played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Cate Blanchett is so all of the people, all the characters are in it are all real life characters, which is super fun, right? And Cate Blanchett plays Katharine Hepburn, and Kate Beckinsale plays Ava Gardner, and my one of my favorite actors, John C. Reilly, and I didn't realize he was in it until I'm like, oh shoot, that's right, he's in this movie. John C. Reilly plays basically Howard Hughes' right hand man. But it starts off weird, I think. There's a lot of things about this movie that I don't think would fly, you know, for Hollywood to make now. This was made by Miramax. So do we all know who was running Miramax at this time?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, Weinstein.
But Brian, so, it's a Scorsese film, is it not? Or is
it's
it
a
not?
Scorsese film, correct, yes.
Oh, that is. Okay, with Leo. Yeah. Remember seeing this time.
So it starts off with this like really unsettling, weird scene of Howard Hughes as a like 8, 9, 10 year old, and his mom is washing him and talking to him. And it's very, it's just like, like it doesn't sit well with you. And I don't know if it would have, I don't know if it felt that way then, but you know, it's basically telling this where she's basically putting in his head the fear of disease and being unwashed. And
oh, that's where that came from.
Yeah, it was really like a tell of how these adult issues that he had, like OCD and things like that, came to play. And then it pushes forward into the time period where he's making movies. And so he was doing this as a young man, as a producer, as an independent filmmaker in Hollywood, but with a shitload of money to do it with. His parents had a business, a tool making business, an oil business, things like that. So he had enough money to basically make the most expensive movie in 1930. And it was pretty cool. So everything for him at that point in time was revolving around planes. He was obsessed with it. He was a engineer and a pilot himself. And he made this war movie called called The Hell's Angels.
Remember? Yes.
And so in 1930, I'm assuming that that's where the biker gang came from or got that name from, Hell's Angels.
You're probably right on that one. Yes.
So this was like a war movie from like World War One.
Was that with Jane Russell?
It was epic.
That was the Jane Russell. Wasn't that her first big movie, or no? Was it later?
Not sure. It was Jean Harlow.
Okay.
It was her first movie.
Gwen Stefani plays Jean Harlow in this film.
Oh, really? Oh, is that right? Is that who that was? I didn't even.
Okay, I need to rewatch this one now. Both of them, you guys both did good ones.
Yeah. So it's a long movie. It's almost 3 hours. Mm-hmm. But it's really great. First of all, Leonardo DiCaprio does such a great job of playing this guy. He's a great actor, but he really, you know, kind of embodied all of that, all the Howard Hughes-ness of the character that he needed.
Without going over the top, too. Yeah. He didn't, like, go the extreme.
Because he was dynamic. He was, a good-looking guy. He looked a lot like him when I was looking at photos. And then just how he played as Howard Hughes aged and he started to have these really bad mental tics and problems and went down kind of a dark path. They do not go into the drug use that Howard Hughes really tackled, you know, like was really abusive for things that happened to him, like a lot of pain medications that just took over his life. But there was another thing I was thinking of in the beginning of the movie where he's talking to some waitress and it reminded me of Weinstein. It reminded me of why the Me Too movement is there. He really has this really horrible masochistic exchange with this woman, and it was I would have felt weird watching it with my wife or daughter, to be honest.
Well, that was so common back. Well, still,
and I know it was 1930s, but
unabated back then.
It didn't seem like they were. It didn't seem like it was in there for the reasons of it just being 1930s. It just seemed like,
okay,
I don't know. Just,
he had issues with women, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't,
Weinstein clearly well. Does.
Yeah,
it didn't age well, that part of it. But getting past that, the Katharine Hepburn character that Kate Blanchett did was just so much. She was so cool and so great. I don't know if Katharine Hepburn was like that, but I really loved her performance.
I remember in that. She seemed good on that. Can I give you a quick little story on that one?
Yeah.
I used to work with a young lady, to this day, a friend of mine. Brian knows her, but she's from Brazil. So I get a call this evening. She said, this is what she says to me. I'm a single. So Danny, I'm with four of my Brazilian friends. We're going to see a movie. Do you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. So I went there, nothing, like, okay, cool. I'm with four Brazilian chicks. I'm such a loser, you know, nothing, anything. But afterwards, I'm like, oh, that was a great movie because I go Howard Hughes. I loved it, right? And they had picked this. Well, they had no idea who he was. And they hated it because the cultural thing was like, they came out. And I was like, isn't that great? And they all give me this dirty look. Like, I just wasted 3 hours of my life in this stupid movie. Who is this guy? So the people I saw it with did not like it, and I did love it. So.
And I can understand that because it doesn't end upbeat. It doesn't end, right. You know, that guy's life does not end well.
But it's a fascinating story, though. And they just did not have any idea who it was or could care less who it was. So they just went to see it because of Leo. So that was at Fashion Valley, actually, so I remember that movie. So.
Oh my gosh, that's a good memory. Well, sometimes I have this experience with my mom, my dad, lots of family members, ex-husband. If English is your second language or third language, even in some cases, even if you don't know the person, a lot of other things are sort of lost in translation.
Yeah.
And so I could see.
That was a long talking movie, yeah.
Like my friend Luana is from Brazil. I take her to movies all the time. And she's just like, what the hell is that? I'm like, sorry.
Yeah. And it is a period piece that takes part in the U.S., you know, quite a long time ago is where it starts and spends a lot of time in the, you know, the 40s, 50s time period. So.
Plane so crash scene in that film. My God. Does anyone remember? You remember the plane crash scene?
Yeah. Well, I just watched it. It was pretty horrific.
Oh, gosh. Sorry. This flash.
No, I actually don't remember that. So
there was
rewatch it then. Yeah. It's
crazy. I will. Okay. I'm actually curious.
So he crashed a plane into Beverly Hills, into a house. And
slow clap.
Amazingly enough, nobody was killed, but he went through, like, the wing of a plane went cutting through a house while these people were in it.
Yeah.
Wow. And then it exploded, it's fire everywhere, and he was badly burned. Really, really damaged from that.
Oh wow. No, it's a shame how he ended up such a smart guy, you know, kind of a titan of his time.
But
well, okay, so are you, I assume you're hyping it, Brian?
Oh yeah, it was great. I really, really think this is one of Leonardo DiCaprio's, you know, movies that he should have got an Oscar for, as they say. And
what did they have against that guy? Is there, Brian, is there like some plot, Joy, is there a plot against him?
Well, he got his Oscar, didn't he?
Yeah, but it's like those guys like Spielberg took forever.
He literally could have won the Academy Award for like
Basketball
Diaries or What's Eating Gilbert Grape. I think he won a Golden Globe for What's Eating Gilbert Grape. But still, like, he is an amazing actor.
Yeah.
He's not the most amazing with women though, but I love him. I love his films. I've grown up with him. I've pretty much I think I've seen every DiCaprio film ever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Classic movie star.
He's definitely Scorsese's protege. And first it was De Niro, and then I feel like now it's DiCaprio.
Yeah. Wait, wouldn't he be his muse, or does that not count? Or am I misusing the word? Isn't he?
He's his inspiration for the roles that he writes, but then he also plays those roles too. So
yeah, he nails it, no doubt about that.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Okay, so I made a mistake. I watched an entire series yesterday because I flew in from Montreal late Friday night.
Okay.
I went to my shop Saturday all day, Sunday all day. So my day to rest was yesterday. And I watched Dahmer, the entire 10-episode series in one day by myself.
Wow. I can't even watch the trailer for that thing.
Yeah.
Was it, what did you think of it? I want to know a hype or hate on that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are not in the right mindset to watch this, do not watch it. I'm sorry.
And so like, don't do mushrooms and watch this is what you're saying. Go to Montreal and do mushrooms. Do not watch this series. Okay.
You'll never recover from that, Dan. Absolutely not. Okay. No. You know, it's Ryan Murphy, and I love most Ryan Murphy projects. And I mean, Evan Peters is phenomenal. I mean, it's eerie. I feel like he needs loads of therapy after this role. Well, I don't know. Do you want to review this in the future, or neither of you going to ever watch it?
I'm not ever going to watch it. That Dahmer character, you know.
Okay. This is what I'm going to say about it. Before we choose next week, or 2 weeks from now, what I'm going to say about it is, watch it if you feel like you can handle that mentally. I do grapple with the fact that they write many, many shows and movies about serial killers, sort of glorifying them, right? I do not feel that this was that. I feel that it told stories that needed to be told.
From the victim's perspective, is that right?
Not perspective per se, but there's stories, a lot of them, and you feel though their fear, that's the thing, but like, it shows them as people, and that hasn't been done in anything I've ever seen about Dahmer. So that was one, and it really does highlight the ineptitude of the police force.
Yeah,
I mean, my God,
numerous times.
Okay. Oh my God, the stories about he was almost caught countless times, but he was a charming, well-spoken white dude, so nothing ever happened. It's crazy. But
so if you're into it, see it. If you're into that type, it's well done.
Yes, and I do have to say one thing, as though it's very graphic and gory and, you know, everything's in there, the sex stuff and everything. However, Ryan Murphy did not put any of the actual kills. Like, you don't see Dahmer killing any of his victims, and that was on purpose. The only actual kill you see, not to say that you're not seeing all kinds of other crazy, really disturbing stuff, but the actual kill, you don't see that at all. You do see Dahmer get bludgeoned to death at the end in prison. And that's pretty crazy. But I feel like it told a story, many stories that needed to be told. So if this is something that anybody's ever explored in terms of a documentary about him or a film, I feel like it's worth seeing. But it is absolutely not for children. And I am somebody that watched the craziest movies when I was young. This one is not for children. And you have to be like mentally okay to see it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, Brian.
I don't think I'll ever get there.
Okay, yeah. Brian, wrap us up, baby.
Okay. That's absolutely okay. So what do you guys want to talk about next week?
Do you guys want to do Game of Thrones, the spinoff one?
Let's do House a horror movie. Come on, it's Halloween. But I'll
horror movie. Okay. You're right.
Okay, we got to wrap it up. But I will say Halloween. I can pick a bunch. We'll each pick our favorite.
All right, so next week has got to be a horror movie. You got to come to the table with.
Any horror movie at all?
Any horror movie, yeah. Just it could be
picking a genre.
Something new, something old.
Oh my God. No.
Okay, cool. All right, great episode. Thank you too for the two good ones. I will be watching those.
Yeah.
So Machinist and The Aviator.
I'm gonna rewatch The Aviator and just Eternal Sunshine just because I love it so much I can watch it a million times.
There we go.
All right,
you guys. Thank
you.
We
are the
listening.
Hollywood Hypers, and thank you so much. You can reach us I don't know.
Hollywood Hypers. That's it, baby. That's it. Wrap her up, Brian.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Good movies. Bye.
Bye-bye.